But we're starting part one today. David Shepherd King, here's a question, okay? Have you ever felt overlooked in your life? Anybody? No, everybody else used to being what? A-team, first-team, superstar, right? We've probably all felt like that at one point or the other, right? I'm in a little bit overlooked. First time I tried out for a sports team was eighth grade basketball. I was soundly rejected. And so all of us who were rejected, we went to the boys' club and destroyed everybody. We were bitter. We played angry. That's a true story. And then next year, I made the team of the high school, and it was really exciting. And everybody else kept growing except for me, and it got less exciting the next few years. But yeah, we've all probably been there, right, where we feel overlooked, right? Maybe it's at school. Maybe it's a job. There's a promotion or a raise. You're like, hey, how come somebody got that? I'm more qualified than them, or I've been here longer. We can probably all relate to that, right? And so this morning, we're going to start part one talking about David. And I'm going to remind you where we're at kind of in the history of Israel. Okay, we're about 1,000 years before Jesus, about 400 years after Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, okay? So that's kind of where we are. Okay, what did I just say? You guys ever listen and go, what in the world did he just say? Or is that just me? Thank you for your encouragement. Got to ask better questions. But here we go. We're going to start where we left off last week, all right? And so here we go. Turn to your Bibles if you have it, or get on your phone, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Last week we finished up with Saul's rebellion. Remember, sort of his fate was secured, all right? But it hasn't quite played out yet, right? And so he rebelled. Samuel told him, hey, God's going to yank you as king. God bless you, sir. I see that hand. So this is where we're at. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 34. It says, Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah of Saul. Until the day Samuel died, he did not go see Saul again, though Samuel mourned for him. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. All right? What a sad verse, okay? Saul rebelled, okay? We talked about it last week. He got impatient, he got prideful. He rebelled. It cost him the kingdom. Right? Even though it's not quite been fulfilled yet, it cost him the kingdom. And imagine this, he didn't see Samuel anymore. Samuel was the prophet of God. He was the man of God. He was the one that would carry the Lord's message to Israel, would carry it to Saul. Okay, he's the one they would go to, like, Lord, are you going to be with us in this battle? And the Lord would say, yes, go. The Lord would say, no, don't go. But he didn't see Samuel anymore. So there was a separation between the Lord and Saul, and we see it played out here in the relationship with Saul and Samuel. Saul was cut off from his spiritual lifeline. We jump to verse 1 of chapter 16, the very next one, okay? It says, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? And so there probably was a period of time, we don't know exactly how long, where Samuel sat around and like was just bummed out, right? Like, oh my goodness, people wanted a king. The Lord gave him a king. The king rebelled against the Lord, and the Lord has rejected the king. And so Samuel, getting older, coming to the end of his service to Israel, mourned for Saul. And the Lord says, how long are you going to sit around and mope? Right? Then he gives him instructions here. It says, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. And so he tells Samuel to stop having a pity party. Then he tells him what to do next. Okay? He gives him a new purpose. He gives him new direction. So he takes his anointing oil, says, you're going to go to Jesse in Bethlehem. One of his sons is going to be king. So what happens in the next few verses here of chapter 16? Samuel goes to Bethlehem. The leaders of the city, okay, business was transacted around the gates of the city, the entrance. They see Samuel coming. And you guys know what their response was? Uh-oh. Think of it like when you're a kid. And when your parents call your name, your first instinct is, oh my goodness, what did I do? Anybody? Look at all the perfect kids we had. Nobody ever got in trouble, okay? When your parent dropped the middle name, you knew that was trouble, right? Or your full name, you knew it was. Okay, so Samuel doesn't even have to talk. He's just walking, entering Bethlehem, and the leaders of the city see him and go, oh my goodness, what have we done? They ask him, have you come in peace? Because, see, the prophet of God, the man of God, would often bring the message of the Lord, and often it was not good news. Often somebody was in trouble, right? Somebody had rebelled, somebody sinned. There was judgment that was coming, all right? And so Samuel's like, no, I've come to make sacrifices to the Lord, right? I've come to worship. I haven't come to judge anyone, all right? And so he invites Jesse and his family to the sacrifice to worship with him. All right, we're going to pick it up in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 16. It says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, and they thought, surely the Lord's anointed, okay, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. And so the firstborn son comes, all right, and Samuel in his humanness, like, that dude looks like a king, right? He looks like a king. All right, he wasn't bald, right? Oh, my goodness. Spiritual gift of snorting. That's in 3 Corinthians somewhere, I think. Right? So, the firstborn shows up and he looks kingly. Does that sound familiar like 2 weeks ago? Hasn't Israel been down this road before? Just because you look like a king doesn't mean you're a king, right? All right? You could be bald and 5'10 and need to lose a few pounds, right? I'm not saying I'm king. Don't get it twisted, people. Like, you guys are getting on your Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram. He said he's a king. I did not say that. So Israel's been down this road before, and the Lord says, no. Look what he says in verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. All right? Israel should have learned its lesson. Samuel should have learned the lesson already, all right? Or at least waited for the Lord to talk to him about it, right? Or to inform him whether this was the king or not. He's like, listen, I don't look at the same things that other people look at. I look at the heart. And this is a significant statement here, because the king must have more than just a certain look, a certain appearance. The Lord was interested in his character, who this guy really is. All right? It's a lesson that Israel needed to learn, and we see it playing out here. Okay? And throughout Scripture, we see God pick the unlikeliest of people. Right? John the Baptist, who came before Jesus, if you were going to start a new religion, right, you would not pick John the Baptist as your spokesperson. He would look terrible on a flyer. Right? You had a targeted ad, and you got this guy with like nappy hair, right, and leather and eating locust. Throughout Scripture, God always picks. Sorry, that's not in my notes. I just thought of that when I said it, right? God always picks the unlikeliest people. Look at verse 11. It says, so he asked Jesse, this is Samuel, he said, are these all the sons you have? So they all paraded in front of him. Like, the Lord kept saying, nope, 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 nope. He said, are these all the sons you have? And he says, they're still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep, Samuel said. Let me read that where the punctuation actually is, all right? Jesse answered, he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him, okay? We will not sit down until he arrives. And so, one last son, Samuel tells him to go get him, right? So David, here he was, not invited by his own father, okay? Not invited to the sacrifice. Now listen, there might have been a good reason for this. I don't want to overplay this. Sometimes I think we overplay it, you know? Somebody probably had to stay with the sheep, and if that was his job, he was the youngest, it sort of makes sense, all right? So we're not going to play this up like Joseph and his brothers, everybody hated him or something. It just, you know, there's probably a lot of logical reasons, but David was not invited when he was the one they were waiting on. But he was overlooked, okay, no matter what the motive. Because remember, nobody really knew why Samuel was there. Like, hey, I'm coming to worship. We're having a little service, right? Look at verse 12. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So it's not like David was the uggo from the backfields, right? He just wasn't the oldest. He wasn't the tallest. He may not have, like, he was an okay-looking kid. He just may not have been obviously a king. And so, but I love this phrase. Samuel sees him. The Lord speaks to him and says, this is the one. Okay? And however Samuel communicated that, we're going to see some of that in just a minute. I wonder what the rest of the crowd, what the response was as we see this play out. The shepherd boy from the pasture was the one. So his experience in taking care of the sheep, taking care of vulnerable, shaped him, trained him to take care of God's people in the future. His trust in the Lord was cemented in the wilderness, and we're going to see that later in the series, see how it really plays out, okay? He's overlooked by his family, but he wasn't overlooked by the Lord. We just got a few more here, so just hang with me, guys. Verse 13, it says, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah, so Samuel left. That was a very symbolic thing. And listen, I don't know if they cleared the room, okay, wherever they were. I don't know if they sent other people home besides the family, but that was a very significant thing that happened there. Samuel anointed him with oil, And anointing with oil was just signifying something that was set apart and dedicated to the Lord. And so I don't know if everybody else picked up on what was happening. I don't know if Samuel told them, hey, this is the future king, or if they thought, okay, David's going to serve the Lord somehow. We don't really get any more information, but here we see he was set apart for the Lord. He was anointed with oil. And then it says the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. All right? And this is not really the point today, but I want you guys to keep in mind, this is the type of language that is very similar to language Jesus used when speaking of the role of the Holy Spirit on New Testament believers. In Luke 24, he said, you'll be clothed with power. In Acts 1:8, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. All right, this is very similar language. It is all through Scripture. It is not just something the Assemblies of God came up with in 1914. All right, the Spirit empowering his people, coming upon his people, is a thread all the way through Scripture. All right, but here David was chosen as a future king. David was set apart and dedicated to the Lord. And so, again, what in the world was Jesse and his brothers thinking? Okay, no idea. One minute David was tending sheep, and the next minute he's the future king of Israel. And again, it's going to take some time to play out. But God picks the unlikeliest people. And in church, here's kind of the takeaway I want to talk to you about this morning, okay? We've all been in a place where we felt overlooked or forgotten by God, and maybe you're not in that place right now, and that's great, but maybe you are. Maybe you're sort of in this holding pattern in your life. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm kind of in a desert or wilderness experience. But I can tell you, it was those experiences in Scripture that shaped men and women to do amazing things for the Lord, right? Joseph was in prison for several years. Moses was on the other side of the desert for 40. Okay, Jesus didn't start his ministry till he was 30. Israel spent 40 extra years wandering in the desert because they needed to learn to trust and rely upon the Lord. And so listen, this morning, if you're listening or watching or you're here, you say, you know what, I feel a little bit overlooked or forgotten by God. Listen, you're in good company, right? You've got plenty of company. You've got plenty of company in Scripture, all right? But here's the crazy thing. Scripture also teaches us, there's a pattern here, that if you're in that situation right now, if you don't learn to depend upon the Lord and trust Him right now, there's a chance you get to do this all over again. More than likely, okay? That's not God's punishment. That's God's grace, giving us another chance to learn to trust Him. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Okay, they had made a short trek, and they're standing upon the precipice of the land that was promised to them, and that was their inheritance. Right? And Moses sent in spies. Do anybody remember the story? Sent spies, right? They encountered walled cities. They encountered giant people. And only two men, Caleb and Joshua, said, you know what, we can take the land, we can go in. And the others were afraid. You guys remember that? Yeah, they were afraid. They saw God do miracles, but they were afraid. And here's what Moses says to them in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 3. It says, the Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. What Moses is saying is, listen, God has already been faithful. He already brought us through, brought us out of Egypt. We crossed on dry ground through the Red Sea. And he carried us. He sustained us all the way here. Don't lose your faith in God now. There may be walled cities. There may be giants. But listen, we can trust God. He's already proven. He's already shown his faithfulness. But unfortunately, that encouragement, that warning fell upon deaf ears. And there was another generation of Israelites that had to die off, and another generation that spent 40 years in the desert they didn't have to spend to learn to trust and depend upon the Lord, even though he had already proven his trust to him. God had been faithful. God had performed miracles. But it wasn't enough for them. And so they didn't learn to trust God through the desert the first time. They got to go through it for 40 extra years. All right? So that's not meant to be a threat, church. But if you find yourself in this place, I'm going to ask Jamie to come back up and play, and we're going to close out. But I'm going to encourage you this morning, if you're here, and you know what, I feel like I've been forgotten, I feel like I've been overlooked, listen, the Lord is with you if you're a follower of Jesus, and he can take care of you, he can sustain you. And so I want to encourage you this morning, just to trust him. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask a couple questions, and then we're going to pray in just a minute. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, just a couple questions. Are you in the wilderness? Do you find yourself in the wilderness? Do you feel overlooked? Okay? And if you say yes to either one of those, ask the Lord what He needs you to learn in the desert. Okay? And then ask Him for continued strength just to see you through, okay? Because it is a faith-building time. It's a time for you to increase your faith in Him. So allow Him to work. That doesn't mean He sent it necessarily. Doesn't mean He's sending bad things. But God can build faith in you and grow in you in the midst of anything, all right? And His promise to you is that He will be there with you, just as Moses tried to remind the Israelites, like, hey, God was with us the whole time. He carried us like a father carries a son. And if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, listen, life is hard. It's especially hard when you live separated from the Lord and from His purposes. And so if you don't know Jesus, I encourage you, reach out to us, use the Connect card online, come find one of us here. We'd love to talk with you a little bit more about what it means to follow Jesus. But if you're here, just one last time, I just want to be able to pray for you over this next week. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, say, you know what, I kind of feel like I'm in a desert time, I'm in a wilderness, feel a little forgotten by God. Is that you? Just lift your hand real quick. I'm not going to ask you to come front. I just want to pray with you. Just kind of remember you this week in prayer. Anyone? Say, that's me. All right, anyone else? I'm going to be able to pray with you. Be praying for you this week. Anyone else? Say, I feel a little bit overlooked. So I want to pray with you guys this morning, and let's just remember, listen, if you find yourself in this time, ask God what He wants you to learn. Say, God, what do you want to do in my character? What do you want to do in my life? And ask Him for strength. So let's just go to the Lord this morning. Lord, I love You. I thank You for this morning. Lord, it's different, and I love it. But I thank You for, God, this group of believers, this family that You have blessed Cornerstone Church with, Lord. I thank You that we're growing. I thank You that you're adding to our number. God, we've yet to see, Lord, how You want to bless us, God, and where You want to lead us. And so, Lord, I pray that You continue to lead us as a church. I pray that You would build our faith so that we'll be ready to respond, to be used by You, Lord, the way You want us to be used for Your kingdom. And God, for those this morning that respond, to those that would say, Lord, I feel overlooked this morning. I feel a little bit like I'm in a desert. God, I pray that You would encourage them in their spirit this morning. God, help them to see what You want to do in their lives in this time. God, just draw them closer to You. Help them to see the miracles You've performed. Help them to see Your provision. Help them to see when You've answered prayers. God, when You've come through for them, when maybe they haven't realized it. But Lord, most of all, You've promised us Your presence at all times and in all situations. And I pray that Your presence would be a strength to everyone that's here this morning, whether they responded or not. Lord, I just pray that You would continue to have Your way in our lives and in this church. Lord, I pray that we would honor You as a church. We'd honor You as families and as individuals, young and old, Lord. Help us to continue to grow in You and be used by Your kingdom, Lord, to share the hope of Jesus Christ with someone else. Lord, we love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.